Well, good morning. I'm so pumped you guys are out here. I know it was a difficult morning to wake up. It was the worst. It's the worst morning to wake up. I'm so proud of you. You made it. So if you are new with us this morning and you're like, what are all these beakers and this microscope and all these things that are on the stage? Well, we're in a family series. And don't get up if you're like, I don't have children. This is a series that can help you out personally as well, with or without children, or it's just involvement in general as far as the family goes. Now, the reason why I have these particular items up here on the stage and the reason why we named it the Legacy Lab is because we want you to understand that as parents, we are experimenting with our children. This has been let's just call it a project. And everyone's different, right? So I don't know about you, but I want to leave a legacy. I want my children to remember the good stuff. I want my children to grab hold of the good stuff and run with those things and then teach their children for generations to come, all right? So that's why we named it the Legacy Lab. Now, let's get started. If you are of age in this room, then you are well aware that growing up is not an age. There is no number that's involved with growing up. Growing up is actually levels of maturity. Moments where you go, oh my goodness, this happened, now I've got to grow up. Now I have to fix whatever happened. Now I've got to make a decision for whatever I've got to do next. All of those moments begin to landslide upon you. My children, I have tried to protect as long as I possibly could from certain events, but as they continue to move forward in time, they experience things. And so we have to teach them to be aware of all of these moments, all of these occurrences. And so that's why it's important that we train up a child in the way they should go so they will not depart. And so we got to train them up in the way they should go, which is the way of the Lord. And that's really, really a key ingredient to all of this. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I don't look at my children as liabilities, but they are a liability, right? And they bring joy to me, and I love my children more than anything, but they're a liability in the sense of they are not contributing to my home outside of just bringing love to me. They're not paying for the bills. I have to tell them to go mow the grass. They don't do it on their own. So if they were doing things on their own, it would be amazing. But there's those moments of like, hey, come and help me with the dishes. Hey, come do these things. So I'm teaching. We're developing our children. But I'm trying to move them from the liability category to the asset category, that they are profiting for themselves. I want to gain some of that profit as well. But I want to move them successfully from liability to asset. Like that's my goal in life. So knowing this, I have to think about what am I doing? So it's important that I'm not just hope that they develop or hope that they turn out or hope that by chance that they just become a good person. No, I actually have to participate in this. Now, the Bible provides a copious amount of stories that involve parenting, that involve good parenting and bad parenting. Our favorite story always to call out is Mary and Joseph and how they lost Jesus. We still don't know. Like, that's one of those stories you're like, how? So if you haven't lost your child, you're better than Mary and Joseph. I'm just saying. So how they lost their child and they were days away. And then they go, where's Jesus? And they're like, we don't know. We left him back in that town. And that's really crazy. So the Bible gives us so many different ways to guide our growth in a healthy and mature, I want to say, at a good speed of maturity. Now, there's gonna be moments that happen. We live in a fallen state world. Because you live in a fallen state world, anything could take place, right? So because we live in that fallen state world, things happen, okay? Now, are these things that cause maturity and a healthy growth pattern or a speed of growth? Sure, they help. Some of us have experienced life harder than others, okay? So I believe that there is a real enemy. Okay, we know that the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. We know that in 1 Peter, we know the enemy is like a lion. He's ready to pounce. He is roaring. He's ready to destroy. And so we as Christians have been given the right steps, the right authority to actually to move in and with Christ in our direction. And we also are been told, we've been told to pray. We've been told to lay our cares at the feet of the cross, that we are supposed to pick up those things that Christ has for us. So all of that to say that, yes, bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people, all right? So it's now seeing it through God's eyes on how we should appropriate these things and how God can change those moments to build us, to grow us in Christ Jesus, okay? So just keep that in mind. Now, with all of these examples that have been given to us, these are particulars that we need to pay attention to ourselves, all right? We need to learn how to say, I'm sorry. So we need to teach our children that. That's a good, healthy maturity moment. Teach your children how to say, I'm sorry. We find this in Matthew 5 and Psalm 38. We need to teach ourselves and our children how to be humble. We see this in Proverbs 11, verse 2. 1 Peter 5 and 6, we see that we need to express and to show self-control and also to be slow to anger. And we see this in James chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. And then we've got to learn to make the most of all opportunities, of the opportunities that have been given to us. We need to learn how to do this. We need to do it successfully, all right? And we see this in Ephesians 5. It would be very sad if we just live life by chance, and when things happen, you just look at it and go, big deal, no big deal, and you just continue life, and you don't look at what's happening and go, okay, what is taking place? What should I learn from it? What should I be doing in it, and how could I change it? We should be constantly aware of this, constantly focusing on what is God doing, okay? Now, I want to make sure that all of us understand as parents, we're not here to manipulate our children, all right? We're not manipulating them. That's not our goal. We want to inspire them. We want to encourage them. We don't want to criticize. We don't want to discourage. So what do we want to do? We want to support healthy growth. And how are we going to do that? We're going to be present. That's really important. How to be present, we're going to talk about that in just a second. How to be intentional. I don't know about you guys, but I want to be intentional in what I'm doing. And then how to be an encourager. So those three things we're going to talk about today, all right? And I believe that this actually transfers over to normal life living, whether you're in your job, whether you're at home, whatever it is, this works for you as well, okay? Now, there's some practical steps to being present, to be intentional, and to be an encourager. You gotta make time. You need to listen. You need to engage. You need to give support, not just only support in the sense of words of affirmation, but financial support. You need to come alongside your children, your loved ones, and you need to bless them. You need to protect them. You need to love on them. You need to give them your attention in the sense of interest. So if you ask them a question, like, listen to what they're saying. It's, you know, children can ramble and they can say all the crazy fun things. Listen to it all. Engage them. That's what's going to promote healthy growth, okay? On top of it, you've got to learn how to surprise and delight them. I'm not talking about spoiling them, talking about surprise and delighting them. You need to reward good behavior and you need to correct bad behavior. And you need to be quick to correct bad behavior. Don't allow that to linger too long. We'll talk about correction in the weeks to come. I'm not there just yet. But I think it's important that we live life in front of them with a godly example. So this is really important. So these spiritual steps that we take from that godly example, starting with being present, is this. We shouldn't reduce Christ to what we are. He raises us to what he is. So we need to remove that human reasoning and the understanding that we've maybe experienced ourselves from something that's taken place, and it's a false belief, it's not a truth of God's word. This is killing me, by the way. If you guys didn't know it, I apologize. I'm about to chuck it. So I want us to be so present with our children that we're seeing the bigger picture. So that's why I say we can't reduce Christ to who we are. He raises us to who he is. So because of that, we are now going to be seeing a bigger picture of the purpose and the why behind things. So when we're involving ourselves with our children, being one-on-one, engaging with them, that present time and moment, you take it for the value that it is, and you go, this is important, versus just being like, I'm just hanging out. Like watching your kid at a soccer game or something, that's more important than you could think. So thinking of it through the eyes of Christ in that moment, I'd be sitting there praying, and I'd be like talking. I'd be like, God, what can I do right now? What? How can I show my children my excitement, my love? Maybe you are someone who's going to cheer really loud. My wife's that person. I'm more the reserved individual, so I'll let her do all the cheering. But afterwards, I'm going to reward them. I'm going to love on them. I'm going to tell them how good they did. I don't want to get in the car and tell them how bad they did, what they could have corrected. Like, I'm not that person. I don't want to be the individual. Now, have we done that? Yes. We've gotten in the car and we've said to them, hey, man, you should have shot that goal right then and there. You know, like right when you had it, don't mess around, like shoot it. You know, sure, we're going to encourage those things. But you can't sit there and beat up your children. So you have to be the godly example. So everything that you're involved in with your children needs to be from the picture and the understanding that there is a larger purpose. There's a larger reason that it's happening, and why are you there? What are you doing with them, okay? So in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 2, it says, since you have been raised to a new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. So we're giving this, Paul's telling us we've got to be focused on the things of heaven. If you're focused on the things of heaven, your eyes will be, it's like revealing, it's the revelation, the understanding, you go, whoa, there's bigger things here. And my children, their eyes need to see this as well. So being aware of that greater purpose causes you to seize the moment, it giving you a better and a full attention to what's happening, and it really puts value on what you're doing. Now, I love what the poet Mary Oliver says. It says, attention is the beginning of devotion. Let me say it again. Attention is the beginning of devotion. Guys, your children see everything. They're not silly. My wife and I, we were with a bunch of our college students when we were a college pastor, and we had little Cademan. He was itty-bitty. He was a toddler, but he was itty-bitty. And so I remember there was a movie, and it was like PG-13, but he was little, and we felt like we were still little too. And we wanted to hang with the college students and be cool. So they're like, we want to go see this movie. And so we're like, all right, but we got our kid. And we're like, is this a bad parenting moment? And then I said to her, I was like, well, he's too little. He's not really paying attention. So we went into the movie. And the movie was the first Fantastic Four movie. And so if you're not a comic nerd, it's okay. Okay? So there's one guy whose name is Johnny. Right, and he turns into a big ball of fire, and he flies in the air, okay? So about halfway through the movie, Johnny turns into his hero fiery self, and he takes off into the air. Cademan pops up, and he goes, where'd Johnny go? And in that moment, Anna and I were bad parents. Because Cademan was paying attention to everything that was happening. And that's when you have to realize that kids know. Kids know, right? So I brought my black belt this morning. Now, I know all the 10-year-olds in the room are super impressed right now. All right? I realize that. So if you didn't know this, there is a particular way that you have to tie your black belt. Okay? It's not, you can't just tie it. There is a particular way that you have to do it. And so your master will come in, and they'll kind of teach you some things, right? So then you got to go... Right. That just made you all feel super safe right now. That move right here, you're like, what? He knows what he's doing. So I want you guys all to know right now, you should feel super safe. So if someone were to come in the room right now, don't worry. Because I bought this on Amazon for $10. And some of you are like, you lied to me. No, I didn't. I said, this is my black belt. It is my black belt. You just assumed that it was a karate belt, which it is, but I've turned it into my black belt, okay? Why do I tell you this? Because as a parent, you can't just go and buy a $10 black belt and say you're a karate guy, right? You actually need to be a parent. You need to be present. Your children know if you're present or not. By the way, I'm gonna take this off. It's really ridiculous. Because that's all I know, by the way. I watched a 4-minute video of how to tie your black belt. You can't get away with a 4-minute parenting video. You can't get away with a 35-minute message from Pastor Josh video. This is where you have to spend time with your Heavenly Father. And when you're present with Him, you'll be present with your children. Period. 1 Corinthians 11:1, it says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. That is a scripture. Honoring your parents, but honoring your own children, that right there is huge. If you made that your parent scripture, you've just changed generations and generations. That's a legacy builder right there. Number two, I want us to be intentional. Spiritually speaking, being intentional is important. It's not transactional, it's relational. Let me say this again. To be intentional, it's not transactional, okay? It's not like, all right, I want to be intentional. I'm going to make my kid into the next Tiger Woods. So I'm going to put them on the golf course because I want them to be a millionaire. And you can say all you want. You just want a Ferrari from your kid later, all right? So this idea of all of these extra sports, extracurricular activities, I'll tell you right now, the percentage is low. You will have a greater level of success if you spend intentional time with your children, being present in the Lord and showing them that example to lead, being intentional. That has a greater value. And being intentional, it's relational. So we have our Heavenly Father as the example. So in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, it says, long ago the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love, with unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. I don't know about you, I want to draw my children to myself. How am I going to do that? I want to be intentional. I want to include them with what I'm doing. I want to bring them into what I'm doing. I want to talk with them. I want to hear their heart. I want to hear what they're thinking about, what they're doing. And so being intentional now looking through the eyes, being present, looking through the eyes of Christ, through the heavenly realm, not the earthly realms, looking at the bigger picture and the bigger purpose of everything, and now being intentional in that purpose, now I'm sitting there going, all right, Heavenly Father, what can I do right now? What do my children need? These are those moments where you may be sitting in your bed at nighttime and you have that check in your spirit and you're like, I need to talk to my kids right now. I need to go in their room. I need to go talk to them. I need to see what's going on. I got to ask them some questions. So that's intentionality now. Now you're leaning on the Holy Spirit to guide you. I'm going to tell you, there is no better thing that you could do for your family than to actually heed to those checks. When the Holy Spirit checks you, you go, I need to go check on this. I need to go ask them the hard questions. And it reveals some things. And then when those things become exposed, then you get to talk about it. And that's relational. That's when you can say, hey, let's talk about the hard things. I'm here for you. I love talking to my children about the hard things. It's not an embarrassing thing. It's a freedom thing. Actually trying to ignore it, you're just waiting. It's a pressure cooker moment. If you're ignoring it, you've turned the pressure cooker on and you've walked away. And you need to give it attention. You have to treat this as a precious item. Your children are precious items. They're not something you just leave alone. No, you be intentional, you be relational. With God as the example, what we're doing is we're drawing our children to ourselves. We're bringing them in, we're including them, we're praying with them, we're praying for them. Jesus gives us this great example of his own disciples. He lived with them, he ate with them, he walked with them, he taught them, he shared deep secrets with them, deep teachings with them. He gave them time to actually experience it, to pray for people, to do what he was doing. That is exactly how we should be leading our family. We shouldn't ignore them. I had an older brother. Okay, my dad's amazing. My dad's in the back. My dad and my mom, they didn't used to go to my church, so it was like a lot easier. They don't know all the stories I used to tell. I need to tell all the stories. So you people have been around a long time, you know all the stories. Thank you for not telling my dad. Anyway, my dad's a great father, wonderful father. He's been so good to me. However, I have an older brother, so he's bigger than me. He was bigger always than me. So growing up, my dad didn't tend to say, "Hey Josh, come here and help me do this. Hey Josh, come here, I'm gonna change the oil. I'm gonna fix this tire." The only thing that I did manly was I carried firewood in every year like this, right? That was the one thing I did. It was fire season, we were cutting logs and we were splitting and we were bringing in firewood. But Jeremy did everything. So the family knew that as well. So one evening I was home alone and I got the phone call, and it was my cousin who lived right down the road from us, and she's like, "Hey, is Jeremy there?" And I go, "No." I said, "Jeremy's not here." They go, "Oh." They go, "Well, where's he at?" I go, "I don't know." This was pre-cell phone. You know, like Zach Morris was the only one that had one, you know? So I was like, "I don't know where he's at." And they're like, "Well, we need help carrying this couch." And I was like, "Okay." Like, "Well, can you tell him to call us when he gets home?" And I was like, "Yeah. I'm not making this story up." I was 17 at the time. 17. I looked exactly like my son Cohen. Exactly. Capable. A couple weeks go by and we had one of those family birthday parties where everyone's at, and my cousin's like, I hear her talking bad about me. I hear her saying something, "Yeah, we need help with this couch," and Josh didn't even offer. Oh. I walked right into that situation and I said, "Hold on, who did you call?" "Well, I called your house." I go, "Right. Who'd you ask for?" "Jeremy." "All right." And then I said, "Did you ask for me? Did you want me to do this? All you wanted was Jeremy. Jeremy can do everything." So don't you put that on me. That's on you. I didn't do that, right? So all of that to say is that my dad, right, he didn't do a great job at including me in these moments. Therefore, my whole family thought I was incapable. My whole family thought this as well. They're like, "Josh is worthless." Now, it got me out of a lot of chores. And I'm thankful for that. But the truth of it was, is that being not included, people just think that you can't do anything. And on top of that, you yourself kind of start believing it as well. Like, "Oh, I'm not needed. I'm not capable. I'm not something." By the way, my mom brought me in. I learned how to make pies. So I know how to bake things. So I'm a mama's boy, all right? So all of that to say, you have to eat with your children. Yeah. You need to sit at the dinner table at nighttime. You need to eat with them. You need to bring them in the car ride when you go to the quick little moment down the road to CVS, to the grocery store. While you're in the grocery store, buy them a treat. What's $1.25 for a candy bar, right? I mean, buy them something, love on them, surprise and delight them, encourage them while you're there, talk to them while you're going up and down the aisles. Find out something that's going on in their life and then say, hey, do you want to hear something about, you know, what's going on? A few weeks ago, or a few months ago, I was in the car with one of my sons. And this was during Anna's surgery. She just had a partial hysterectomy. So her parents came down and spent like 2 weeks with us. I love my in-laws. But my father-in-law is straight up a pastor slash life coach. So I get in the car with one of my sons and I was like, hey, is there anything you want to talk about? He goes, nope. And I go, why? He said, because Papa's been here for 2 weeks. And I've had a lot of life stories. I go, yep. But I'm so thankful for life stories. Those are the good things. These are those moments that just something's gonna stick. And that's your prayer, is that something sticks. So you gotta live with them, you gotta walk with them, you gotta be with them. Being intentional is so important. Everyone knows that it's unlikely that you sound good singing solo, but when you bring people together, it's harmony. So solo's okay for some, but I'm telling you what, it's always better when it's together. And there's harmony with that. So be intentional and bring them together. So in John 15, 5, it says, yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Being intentional, you're going to bring your family into that branch. You're going to show them how you live in Christ Jesus. They too are in turn going to want to do that as well. Number 3, be encourager. I want you to be an encourager. We have we have rules in our house. They're fun rules. Years ago, a pastor friend of mine goes, you tell me that you have rules. I think that you might be a bad parent. They go, you have a lot of rules. That's what they told me. I go, no, they're good rules. Like you're not, if the stool is meant to sit on, then that's what you're supposed to do it. This is a rule in our house. So here's a stool. If you sit on it, then you're not going to what? Break yourself or break it. If you choose to stand on it, what's going to happen? I'm either going to break myself or I'm going to break it. And 9 times out of 10, I'm going to break myself, right? So that's where it's important that my children know, hey, this is common sense. So we have some common sense rules. Then we have some rules around the house that we are encouragers, not discouragers. So we have a little one of those word boards. You put the letters together. So there's been moments where they've done something dumb. And I'll go stand in front of that right now, and you're going to say that 20 times. And they're like, oh. So they'll go and they'll stand in front of that sign. They haven't done it in a long time because we're winning. And they'll stand in front of it and they'll go, I am to be an encourager, not a discourager. I'm like, say it happier. Right? But these are rules that we want. We want to be an encourager. So I said this last week, and I still hold true to this. So listen to my words as I say them carefully. Influence is more powerful than authority. Influence is more powerful than authority. The authority that I'm actually referring to is a tyrant, a dictator. That's the type of authority I'm talking about. There is true authority, and the true authority comes through Jesus Christ. We know this, all right? So true authority is good, but the way to be a true authority is actually to be an encourager. Encouraging someone actually brings trust. Encouraging someone actually brings a sense of comfort. And when you do this, you actually are placing yourself in order of influence with them. They're going to lean into you and they're going to say, hey, I know that you love me. I know that you care for me. You're an encourager to the things that I'm doing, and I appreciate that. So you become open. You begin to want to share your thoughts. And so that's where encouraging is where pure, unadulterated authority is found. So If you're wanting to have influence in your child's life, you're not going to have the influence or the riz that you need. Right. That was dumb. That sounded very silly, didn't it? So therefore, I just lost street cred with my children. All right? So I'm not going to win them over being a peer. Okay. I might hurt some parents right now in the room. My children are not my friends. Okay, they're not my friends. Okay, I am their parent. Okay? I am their help. I am their encourager. I am all these other things, but I am not their friend. Now, when they graduate college and they become an asset, I'll be their friend. But until that day, I am their parent. Therefore, they're going to come to me with strong spiritual guidance and wisdom. They're going to come to me in the moments where they need me. And they're going to know that I am a safe place. Why? Because I'm an encourager to the things that they're doing. I am championing them. Oh, I can't wait. My son, I was so proud of him last night. Here he is at the UNC Duke basketball game, and he's wearing a banana suit. So excited. He sent us all photos, and I was like, that's my boy. It was a core memory. I was so excited. I was like, this is so much fun. And so I sent that photo out to all of my friends, and I was like, this is my boy. I'm encouraging him while he's doing all of those fun things in college. And he knows, he can call me and say, hey, Dad, I'm doing this. I got to make this decision. What would you do? What do you think I should do? And I'm encouraging him. Therefore, he comes to me and he says, hey, what should I do? This is where real influence happens. The greatest encouragement you can give your children is to include God. Yes. Include God. Encourage them with scripture. Encourage them with prayer. Pray with them. Don't say, I'm going to pray for you. That's lame. Pray for them. Hey, let's pray right now. Grab my hand. We're going to pray. Here, hold me. We're going to pray. Don't say you're going to do it. Do it. Show them to be intentional. Help them to make that switch that it's not about me. It's not about me. It's all about him. That's that revealing moment of it's truth. Where you go, hey, there's a bigger picture. It's back to that present to reveal heaven. Like, show them these moments. Because selfish right now, children can be selfish. That's why they want to fight you. When you're like, hey, do the dishes, they're like, no. Why? Because they're selfish. They have better things to do in their own mind. Like, hey, I need you to mow the grass. No. I got to do this. You know, I need your help. Oh. And it's like, it takes 5 seconds, right? All of that to say is that they're selfish. They're thinking about me. They're internally thinking, what can I get from this? You have to switch this for them. You got to begin to show them, encourage them why God is so important. By including him, we need to teach our children to pray first and decide second. A selfish mentality decides first and then prays second. You want God to bless what you're already doing. You need to go to God first to find out what you're doing. That's where we miss it, when we don't show our children those things. We got to teach them. If you can do something without God, it's not big enough. All right? So we need to include them with what we're doing with God. Why do anything without God? That's really how we begin that conversation with them. Teach them where vision comes from, where purpose grows. Don't make it difficult for your children to know how to pray. This isn't about being a wordsmith. Don't make them feel silly. Don't correct them while they're praying. Like, afterwards, be like, well, let me talk about prayer. You know, like, let them pray. You pray, and then you look at them, and you do the hand squeeze moment. All right, I'm going to pray. I'm going to start. You finish. Or you start, you squeeze my hand, and I'll finish. You know, one of those moments. You pray, and I'll pray. We're going to pray together. Giving them that encouragement that they need. In Ephesians 3:20, it says, "Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." Reveal your Heavenly Father to them. Read the scripture to them and then go, all right, what are we believing for? What are we doing? What is it that God's about to do in your life? What opportunities do you want opened? What moments of growth do you want to see in your own life? Begin to ask them these questions. Begin to encourage them to come in. Because why? Well, because in Psalm 127:1, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. I don't know about you. I don't want to waste time. Nothing's worse than wasting time. Are you wasting time with your children? Leaving them alone in their bedrooms? I'll confess right now, your children turn to teenagers, and it seems better that they're in their bedrooms alone. Because now it's our time on the couch. And we've had our moments where we'll look at each other on the couch and we're all alone and we're like, where's our kids at? And you're like, they're up in their rooms. Just let them be. And you do it too often. And they're up there for far too long. And you're missing out on encouraging them. You're missing out on engaging with them. And before you know it, they're old. I miss my little ones. I don't miss diapers. But I miss my little ones. They don't hug me like they used to. Right? I don't get ugly cartoon crayon drawings anymore. So, those are these things that you need to begin relishing and then being intentional, no matter the age. Spending time with them, taking them out on dates, love on them, bring their friends along, get to know their friends. You shouldn't let your kids hang out with kids you don't know. Negative. I told you guys this story before. I was a senior in high school and I'm riding in a car. So my friend was speeding and a cop comes up and pulls us over. So I didn't have my seatbelt on, so I'm trying to find my seatbelt. I'm doing this thing and I couldn't find the latch thing, so I'm doing all this. So we pull over and the cop comes to my side of the door and bangs on the window. And I roll down the window and he's like, get out. So I was like, and he grabs me by the arm and he throws me on the hood of the car. And I was like this. He goes, you need to tell me right now if you've got drugs. And I was like, I don't have any drugs. I had my Christian school, not that that matters, but I had my Christian school soccer outfit on. I just finished playing soccer. So I was like, I go to Taze Valley Christian School. He's like, you better be telling the truth. I have a dog in the back and it will eat you alive. Which I learned, by the way, that they don't do that. if a drug dog senses drugs, it just sits down. He was a mean cop. I almost peed my pants that day. And I was like this forever on the car. Sure enough, finally, he realized that I was telling the truth. I didn't have anything on me. I had soccer shorts. I didn't even have pockets in those. I was like, dude, I got nothing. I literally was just trying to get my seatbelt on. So he lets us go, gives my friend a ticket. So we drive off. There's a guy sitting beside me. And he goes, man, I'm so glad he didn't pull me out. Right? And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, well, I've got weed on me right now. And I was like, oh my gosh, dude, why? Why? Why do you have weed on you right now? I don't associate with that, so why do you have this on you? A year later, that same guy murdered his teacher. I didn't have that teacher, but he murdered his teacher and went to work the next day. And I hung out with him. I tell my kids that story all the time. You don't know who you're hanging out with. So you need to vet your friends, your kids' friends. You need to figure out who they are. Talk to them. You can't just let these things just go and be like, oh, they'll learn. They'll get it. They will? None of my kids are that smart. I know none of your kids are that smart. You gotta teach them how to hear the voice of God. Those checks that you have, and you come into their room and you go, hey, I got a check. You're not doing your homework. Something's not happening. This is happening. What's going on? And then they go, and they know that you heard from the Lord in that moment. Then they find the value of them hearing from the Lord as well. When we get to heaven, I want to say this to all of us. We have this parable that Jesus tells us, the parable of the talents. And when we get to heaven, we have this theory. It's a theory. Anytime I say we're getting to heaven, there's always a theory, okay? There's only so much we know. So just know that, okay? But we have this theory that God will greet us at the gate. And if your name is in the book, all right, then he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. The key word is faithful. Not fancy. Not famous. Right. Not rich. Faithful. I don't know about you. I want to be faithful with everything God's given me. That when I get up to heaven, there's not a gap in my faithfulness. That I'm actually tuned in to the present moment that I live in right now, and I am being present, intentional, and an encourager to my children. And I'm taking full advantage of every bit of time that God's allowed me to be in my children's life. Being intentional, man, I don't want to miss these opportunities. I don't want to miss an opportunity or a growth moment with them, and something takes place, the unforeseen moment, you go, no, how did this happen? I don't want them to make a decision that's not vetted through God. I want them to learn this. So, my call to action for you this morning is for you all to evaluate today. What am I doing with yourself? Am I present in the Lord? Am I intentional through the things of the Lord? Am I trustworthy? That when I encourage people, they can come and talk to me about the things of the Lord. Like, put yourself there first. Then ask yourself, am I that way with my family? Am I that way with my spouse? Am I present with my spouse? Or I only want to be present when it's convenient for me because it's transactional. And then begin to ask about your friends. You know what makes a good friend is a friend who asks questions. Nothing's worse than when there's somebody who calls you their friend, they call and all they do is just talk. And then they go, I gotta go. And then they hang up. That's like the worst friend. The worst. I have a friend that I know their birthday, and they were mad because one time I didn't wish them a happy birthday, and they, to this day, still don't know my birthday. It's okay. But they're a horrible friend. Are you a good friend? Are you a good parent? You need to ask yourself those questions.